You're listening to Neon Jazz with Joe Domino.
Is the only child of Charles and Addie Parker. They nurtured a legend in Kansas City's own Charlie Yardbird Parker. There he was with the 1945 song Lover Man, and that tune kicks off a full hour of story and song paying tribute to a man that literally changed every facet of music, not just jazz, but the entire universe of human music as we know it. And he really didn't think he was doing that much on the alto sax. In an interview with the great Paul Desmond, this is what Charlie had to say about his playing.
That's my first conception, man. That's the way I thought it should go. And I still do. I mean, of course, it could stand much improvement. Most likely in another 25 or maybe 50 years, some youngster will come along and take the style and really do something with it, you know? I mean, ever since I've ever heard music, I thought it should be very clean, very precise, as clean as possible anyway, you know? And more or less to the people, you know, something they could understand, something that was beautiful, you know?
Early on in his life, Parker moved from Kansas City, Kansas to Kansas City, Missouri. And on that side of the river, he experienced a flourishing jazz, blues, and gospel scene. His first contact with music came from school, where he played the baritone horn with the school's band. At the age of 15, he fell in love with the alto, and from that point on, he was gigging with local bands until 1935, when he left school to capture the music world. And the raging tempest of KC jazz was the perfect honeycomb for him to amass a music knowledge and arsenal that would go on to literally change the world and bring bebop into the mainstream and change the DNA of jazz. Welcome to Neon Jazz. This is your jazz radio host, Joe Domino, coming to you from the home of a titan of jazz and a pure legend, Kansas City's Charlie Yardbird Parker, right here in Kansas City, Missouri. Ready to give your ears a full hour of bird listening and story, so let's keep getting at it. From 1946, here's Bird with the Jazz Standard, or Anthology, or for you ology buffs out there, it's the study of birds, man.
Thank you.
That was Byrd in 1946 with the tune Oh Lady Be Good. Before he became an icon for the hipster culture and beat generation, he was someone that spent the early years of his life practicing diligently. Talent is one thing, but Byrd knew the importance of playing the horn. In that interview with Paul Desmond, he said this about his practicing.
I can't see where there's anything fantastic about it at all. I put quite a bit of study into the horn, that's true. Mm-hmm. In fact, the neighbors threatened to ask my mother to move once when I was living out west. I mean, they said I was driving them crazy with the horn. I used to put in at least 11 to 15 hours a day.
He also played with local bands and jazz clubs around Kansas City, refining his technique with the oversight of the great Buster Smith. It was also in 1938 that he joined forces with the great KC legend and pianist Jay McShann, going on tour around the U.S. and getting a good look into the jazz fishbowl. Moving on to 1947, here's Byrd sweating his soul out into the horn with Embraceable You.
Jazz.
Man, listen to that horn, will ya? From 1948, that was the tune Parker's Mood. Along with KC, New York would be the most influential geography in Parker's lineage. In 1939, Parker visited New York for the first time and stayed nearly for a year working as a young, hungry cab. When he did tour with McShann, he jammed late into the night at Monroe's and Minton's Playhouse in Harlem, catching the eye of bebop architects Dizzy Gillespie and Thelonious Monk. Leaving the 1940s and dig a cool little tune from Bird called Bloom Dito, right there, smack dab in 1950. Some more neon jazz.
Do it.
Thank you.
Alive in 1950. That was Bird with the tune Repetition. It was during this period of time in the 1950s that the bebop Big Bang was happening, and it was a music that the world had never heard before. Thus, the real baptism of Bird emerged. The moment began when Bird realized that the 12 notes of the chromatic scale can lead melodically to any key, breaking some of the confines of simpler jazz soloing. The early scorn for bebop was profound, but the beboppers roared on in their innovative style and called those traditionalists moldy figs. And it was Parker, with many others, that orchestrated one of the most momentous movements in jazz history. Onward into 1951 we go. Here's Bird with the song Star Eyes, right here on Neon Jazz.
I'm Chuck Haddix, and I always wake up Saturday mornings with Joe Dimino and Neon Jazz. Thank you.
joining Bird in front of the mic on this one from 1951 was Miles Davis with the tune KC Blues. One of the cornerstones of Bird's life that turned many away, including Miles, was his rampant abuse of drugs and booze. As a teenager, he got a morphine addiction while in the hospital after an automobile accident. That led to heroin, which riddled his life with missed gigs, rehab stints, and busted relationships. Bird produced many brilliant recordings under the heroin clouds, and his behavior was quite erratic. But one thing you cannot deny is that he possessed a genius and a thirst for more and more, or that knowledge. And this is what he had to say about being a natural and the importance of growth with Paul Desmond.
Study is absolutely necessary in all forms. It's just like any talent that's born within somebody. It's just like a good pair of shoes when you put a shine on it. Schooling brings out the polish, you know, of any talent that happens anywhere in the world.
This next song is for his stepdaughter. Here's Bird in 1952 with the tune Camp.
Listening to Neon Jazz with Joe DeMino.
Thank you.
Was Bird in 1955 with the song Just Friends. And speaking of the music, that's what Bird loved. His style of composition was really an interpolation of original melodies over existing jazz forms and standards, otherwise known as contrafact. So Bird left us at the age of 34 in 1955, while he was staying at the home of his good friend and patron Baroness Panonika. She said when he died, she heard a huge crash of lightning, providing right there a litany of metaphor guesses. The coroner accidentally estimated his aged body to be around 50 or 60 years of age, and that is a testament to all of those rampant years of drug use and all of the miles and miles that he saw. And with that combination of music and story he left behind, I would say we have hundreds of years to marvel and gawk at the amazing cool he left behind. He's currently buried at Lincoln Cemetery in KCMO, and his legend simply lives on and on for forever to fetter out. And we have now hit the end of our show. The final cut is the tune Cool Bird from the 1988 Clint Eastwood film Bird, looking back on his life. And with that, thanks to you for tuning into a show featuring one of America's finest inventions, jazz. And thanks to my good friend, show engineer, and another Kansas City legend, the Neon Beats, Mr. John Christopher. Like what you heard? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you out there in Radioland. NeonJazzKC@gmail.com. We would dig it the most. Until next time, enjoy the music, my friends. Thank you.
hard to still get you nowhere.
Neon Jazz.